when life is just beating you all upside the head, when everything that can go wrong is going wrong, James teaches us in chapter 5 how to wait on God. And I believe for believers, this is really where we live, especially in this time frame. Because we are inundated with so much information. We have people now that can, that it seems like people, there's more, people have always had opinions, but it seems like now everybody's opinion can be heard. And it causes conflict, it causes comparison, it presents us with all of these challenges as believers. And so James is giving us this key today. He's given us this binder. As I was going over this, I said, man, really what James has given us, he's given us a binder. And what a binder is, a binder holds things together. And so I was cooking, I was smoking a brisket this week. And as I'm smoking the brisket, God is speaking to me. I'm preparing this brisket. And when you're preparing a brisket, one of the things that you have to do is, if you want the seasoning to stay on there, if you want the seasoning to get in there, you need a what? A binder. And so I like to use olive oil. I use olive oil. I put it all over it on the top, under the sides, I put it all over, and then I sprinkle my seasoning on it, and what that does is it binds the seasoning to the meat. And what James is going to teach us today is, James is going to give us this binder that's going to hold us together while we wait on God. James is going to tell us the key. He's going to unlock the secret for us on how we wait on God. And this past week, he told us, he says, we have to have patience. But patience is not enough sometimes. You need something else to go along with that helps you hold yourself together when things are not going the way that you would like for them to go. You need a binder to hold you together when life is just popping you all upside the head. You need something that's going to hold you together. And what is this something that can hold us together while we wait on God? Can I submit to you today that prayer is the binder that gives us the ability to wait on God. And for the believer, well, before I say that, on this past week, I gave us a quote, and I want to quote it again. Patience is not simply the ability to wait on God. It's how we act while we're waiting on God. And so when you combine patience with prayer, as you're waiting on God patiently, you must understand that prayer is the key. And for the believer, we must understand that it's not just prayer, but there's a specific kind of prayer. And so let's see what James has to say. Let's look at how prayer can help us wait on God. And what James does, and I just love what James does. He starts out in verse 13. He says this. He starts out and he asks three distinct and personal questions. It says in verse 13, he says, are any of you suffering hardships? That's the first question. He says, you should pray. But here's the thing, we're going to go on to find out that it's not just you should pray, but here's the thing, when we pray in faith. You see, some of us, we know how to pray. But do you really know the difference between prayer and praying in faith? I was thinking about, there was a pastor that taught me so much, and he used to have this saying, and it just stuck with me. And I don't know if it was his, but Dr. Powell used to say this all the time. He says, faith is acting like a thing is so, even when it ain't so, because God said so. I'm going to say that again. Faith is acting like a thing is so, even when it ain't so, because God said so. That's faith. And when you pray and you pray in faith, then here's what James is saying is, James says that prayer transforms troubles into triumph. You see, as we're waiting on God, the only thing that's going to help us is that we have to know how to pray in faith. Why? Because we're praying to the God who makes things happen. We're praying to God who knows the beginning from the end. We're praying to God who just spoke this earth. He spoke everything into existence. Why wouldn't we pray to that God? Prayer transforms troubles into triumph. James says, he says, are you suffering hardship? Don't call your family. Don't call your sister. Don't post it on Facebook. Don't post it on the gram. Don't tweet about it. God says, James teaches us to pray. And you can tell the maturity of a believer based on how they pray. And when they pray. And I believe we've gotten away from spending time on our knees. If all of us would raise up our pants leg and show our knees, I bet you there would be too many smooth knees in the house today. Why? Because we've forgotten this art, this submission of getting on our knees and praying to God. James says, are any of you suffering? He says, you should pray. Then in verse 14, he says this. He says, are any of you sick? He says, not only are you suffering, he says, are any of you sick? James has gone now from talking to everyone to now he's making it personal. He's asking distinct questions. Why? Because sometimes when we're going through, when we feel like we're being persecuted, sometimes we can feel like that God has forgotten all about us. James keeps it personal. He says, are any of you sick? Some translations say, are you weak? Because I told you when we first started this sermon series, being a follower of Jesus Christ is not for the faint of heart. I told you there's several people, there's one particular guy in Houston that wrote this book called Every Day is a Friday. I still hadn't experienced every day being a Friday yet in my life. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer hardships. You're going to get weak. You're going to want to throw in the towel. James says, don't throw in the towel. He says, you should, if you're sick, he says, and if you're feeling weak, he says, catch this. He says, you should call for the elders of the church to come and do what? Pray over you. That's why we offer prayer here at Connect Church. Because sometimes we need someone else to pray with us. We need somebody that could just understand. Sometimes we just need someone to just put their hand on our shoulder and say, man, it's going to be all right. He says, if you're sick, call for the elders so that they can pray over you. Seven times in this text, James says to pray. Do you think we ought to pray? You think prayer is the key? James says, are you suffering? He says, prayer will transform troubles into triumph. And he says, prayer causes healing from God. I like this because if you continue to read in verse 14 and 15, he says, such a prayer offered in faith. Not just any prayer, but a prayer offered in faith. But here's the part. Offered in faith will heal the sick. Some people get this text confused there's a big controversy over it in that sometimes some people feel like they interpret it that the elders have the ability to pray for the people and it's the elders that can make people, that can heal people. Believe me, I'm an elder here. I can't heal nobody. If it would, I would heal myself. Because I got aches and pains right now. But the text says, and the Lord will make you well. It's God that heals. Don't let anybody on TV try to sell you some kind of stuff. And there's no such thing as a faith healer. No such thing as a faith healer. God heals. How can you heal something that you did not create? It's the Creator that heals. So he says, when you pray in faith, he says prayer causes healing. And James goes on in verse 15, and he says this. He says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. But look. look at this last part of verse 15. This last part of verse 15 says, and if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Sometimes some people can believe or fall into a false belief that when sickness or when something bad happens to them, they can sometimes feel like they've fallen into sin. Job, I remember the passage in Job where Job's friends thought, they said, man, what have you done? I mean, Job was sick. I mean, he was frail. He had all of this stuff on his skin, and his friends came up to him, and they asked him, they said, Job, man, what have you done for God to do all of this to you, for God to allow all of this to happen to you? Job, what have you done? And it's not always sin. Could it be that God is trying to get you to a place? Could it be that God is trying to show you his power? How would you know him to be a healer if you never get sick? How would you know him to be a deliverer if you was never in a jam? How would you know that he could get you from in between a rock and a hard place if you was never in between a rock and a hard place? And see, here's the thing. When we pray, we need to ask God, and when we're sick, we need to ask God, God, what are you showing me through this? God, what are you trying to get to me? And a newsflash, everything that happens to you is not because of the devil. Everything that happens to you is not because of the devil. Could it be that God is revealing himself to you more and more and more? You see, when things are going well for us, and be honest, please, be honest with yourself. I'm not going to ask you to show of hands or anything. But when things are going well, when your bank account has overage in it, when your husband and your wife is acting right, when the kids didn't got straight A's in school, you didn't get any notes from the school on your kids today. Are those the times that we are most prone to hear from God? Just be honest. When things are going well, are your ears really tuned into God? God knows how to get to us. He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to slow us down when we need to slow down. Because we as humans really have a God complex. We really want to play God and not let God be God. So sometimes God has to move in a way to cause us to understand that there's no other God before me. I'm God and you're not. And the way that he does that is that sometimes he allows things to happen to us to get our attention. to move us back in line, because sometimes we can kind of stray and start to believe our own news reports. Especially in this day and age, man, where everybody posts on Facebook and Instagram, they always post the good stuff, the good side. But James says, when we have committed sins, when we have strayed away from God, he says prayer leads us to forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness every day. And when we're waiting on God, that's where I was going. When we're waiting on God, sometimes we get frustrated and we want to help God out. Abraham tried to help God out, and look what happened. And so prayer, when we pray in faith, it leads us to forgiveness. But in order to receive forgiveness, we must have a broken and contrite heart. Can I just ask a question? Do you still feel convicted? When we're about to do something that we know we shouldn't do, does that small, still voice still speak to you and say, that's not right? That's not who you are. That's not who I called you to be. Do we still have that spirit of conviction that leads us and guides us? James says that when we pray, when we stray off the path while we're waiting on God, prayer will lead us to forgiveness. But then I like verse 16. And I told you the way that James wraps this fifth chapter up, I just think it's just brilliant, because the way that he ends it, he says this. He says in verse 16, he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? So that you may be healed. But the second part of verse 16, man, I'm telling you, it is exciting, because it in the NLT, it says this. It says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. But I was raised on the King James, and I like the King James, because as a kid, I used to hear this all the time. King James says it like this. King James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. I grew up on the King James, and it's still resonating in my head today, just like if I was 8 years old, because we used to recite it as kids. James says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. What does that mean? That when we are on our way, when we're going through life, and life is and we're being tossed to and fro, James says that the prayer, that the powerful prayer, the passionate prayer of a righteous person, James says, King James says, that it availeth much. What does that mean? Is that when we pray, and we pray with faith, and we pray with passion, it moves God. It has power to cause things to happen. Our prayer has the ability to cause things to happen. Why? Because we're not praying to any old God. We're praying to God supreme. He says prayer has power. I wonder, do we still believe that prayer has power? Or has it just become something that we as Christians are supposed to do? Don't lose your passion for prayer. James says that when we pray, and we pray with passion, that it produces power and that it availeth much. And I love what James does, and he continues on. He says, to look at Elijah. He says, the prophet Elijah. He says, I'm going to show you what the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man can do. He says, consider Elijah. He said, Elijah was a person just like us. And the text says that he prayed and it didn't rain. Can you imagine being able to pray and cause it to not rain? And then being able to pray again and it starts to rain. James says this is the power that we have when we pray. I know some of us can't even fathom that. Even though it's in the Bible, and not only is it in the Bible, it's in the New Testament. So you New Testament folks can it's in the New Testament. But do we really, really, really believe in the power of prayer? So as I close today, I just want to give you a formula that God laid on my heart for us today as we are waiting on God. As we wait on God, because I don't like to preach and not give you something that you can take home with, something that you can take, that you can tuck in your heart, tuck away in your heart, something that you can take with you today. So here's the formula for waiting on God based on James 5. When you mix patience with prayer, when you're waiting on God and you mix patience with prayer, and you mix some praise in there, when you give God the glory for what you're going through, I believe it's in verse 13, James says, are any of you happy? What James is saying is, even though you're going through, are you cheerful? So even when you're going through, you can still give God praise. And so when you mix patience with prayer and with praise, I tell you, that's your ability to wait on God. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, as we conclude this sermon series, as we are about to move into the holiday season, I just want to pray for us today. And if you're here and you are in need of prayer, we want to pray with you. Because I know the holiday season can sometimes cause stress. It can cause anxiety. It can cause depression. This is a time when we miss those who have gone on to be with the Lord. Some of our family had probably moved to different areas of the country or even out of the country. And I know for me personally, this is a difficult season. For me, it's a very heartfelt season. And I used to struggle a lot during this time. And so I just want to pray for us today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today, God. God, we thank you for what we've learned in this book of James over these last 6 weeks. And so, God, I don't know if it was at this time, God, if it was during this time, God, that you were preparing us for this holiday season, God, the season that can be tough for some of us, God, the season of anxiety, God, the season of loneliness, the season, God, where we would like to spend time with some people, God, and they're just far away from us, God, are they far away from you? So, God, I pray that what we've learned in this book of James helps us to wait on you, God. God, because we know that you're at work. We know, God, that you're always working. We know, God, that you're a good, good Father. And God, just your text says, God, we being good fathers ourselves, would we withhold any good thing from you? I mean, from our children. And so, God, we know that you would not withhold anything from us. And so, God, we just thank you, God, that as we go through this season, God, that you reveal to us more about you, the Father that you are, the Comforter that you are, the Guide that you are. God, we just pray, God, that we lean more into you during this season, God, and not into the so-called holidays and all of that, God. God, I pray that this season brings us closer to you, that we grow in our faith during this season. So, God, I just thank you, God, that we end this year well, that we're more spiritually mature at the end of this year than we were at the beginning of the year. God, I pray that we are growing in you. And so we just give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name, we pray.